Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. In this daily editorial, we are going to be focusing on the energy sector as we are chatting with Joseph Schachter, founder of the Schachter Energy Report, also writes the Eye on Energy. That's a free report sent to subscribers that outlines more of the fundamental data that is being released for the energy sector. That Schachter Energy Report is focused a bit more on the investment side, especially when it comes to the companies and a wide range of companies that Joseph covers in that energy report. Joseph, let's start off with general comments on the crude oil price, because oil has pulled back. It was just recently topped out right around $85, just over $85 a barrel, and has now pulled back to the mid to low 70s. Now, I know you've been waiting for a pullback and for a greater degree pullback than just the short-term one that we've had pretty much all through November. What's your takeaway here, Joseph? Is this the start of a larger correction for oil?
Yeah, the key for me is economic health around the world. You know, we're seeing, the concern by President Biden and others about the high price of gasoline at the pump, and that effectively is where people around the kitchen table talk about inflation and how it's impacting them. And then on the other side of it, OPEC is concerned about economic conditions around the world, plus the announcement of the SPR releases from the United States, China, India, Japan, Korea, and the UK, which they say will mean, you know, if they release that amount of oil, 100 to 120 million barrels in total, that would mean there's less demand for their crude. And at the meeting that they're having on December 2nd, they may not increase production by 400,000 barrels per day, which has been their plan per month going forward, until they bring back all of the production that they cut back when we got hit by the pandemic. But just for showing, you know, today's data from the EIA, U.S. domestic demand rose by 123,000 barrels a day. Of that, 92,000 was finished motor gasoline, and jet fuel was up by 125,000 barrels a day to 1.5 million. The gasoline number was 9.3 million. So the gasoline number is now ahead of what it was pre-pandemic, but the jet fuel number is still 300,000 plus barrels below where it was pre-pandemic, even though the amount of traffic being flying right now because of the U.S. Thanksgiving, they're saying that the traffic at the airports is now greater than it was pre-pandemic. The other piece of the news that came out of the report was that domestic production recovered, so it's now back to the high of the year post-pandemic of 11.5 million. And my view is, with all the drilling that's going on and the weekly data from Baker Hughes continues to show a big, strong increase in the number of U.S. oil rigs, my guess is by the end of the year, which is six weeks away, we may see U.S. production closer to 12 million than the 11.5 that we saw today. And so you've got more U.S. production, you've got kind of sluggish a growth in demand. And the key thing is, are we seeing a lot of people spending money now because it's Thanksgiving, Black Friday's coming, Christmas, of course, is here. And because they haven't really done much for 2 years, are we effectively spending money that we might have spent in 22 or 23, and we're pulling forward that demand and that consumption because people have not been spending money, and of course now that we have QR codes in Canada and people in the States are more vaccinated, we're seeing people wanting to get out and do things. The opposite of the offset to that is many countries where there has been vaccination rates high, the unvaccinated are now maxing out the hospitals. Austria is planning to have a full lockdown. Germany now has the record number of people, new caseloads over 50,000 a day, and they're talking about new restrictions. Netherlands doing the same. South Korea is planning to tighten up. Japan is talking tightening up. And, of course, China is trying to clear the air over the country for the February 4th Winter Olympics. So they've shut down half of the country, coal-fired plants, industrial plants, so that the air quality will improve, which means economy will be slower. So you've got a big thing here between slower economic growth in a number of countries where there's been COVID, slower economic growth in China because of the Olympics, slow growth in the United States, 2%. Remember, the data today was 2.1, down from 6.7 in Q2, so 2.1 in Q3. And a lot of people are thinking it's going to be sub 0.5% in Q4. And then the question is, what happens in the new year? And I think Biden got the infrastructure bill passed, but I think it's very unlikely now with Manchin and Sinema and the others who are against his, his giveaways on taxes, and his push from the wealthy to say, give me a bigger increase in the salt tax, the state and local tax exemption, which was only $10,000. He wants to raise it to $80,000, which is, of course, a tax break for the rich. I think you're going to see a big battle on that. And if they don't get the next stimulus package, that removes a lot of economic juice to the U.S. economy. And at the same time, tapering has started. And tapering removes $15 billion in month one, November, $30 billion, so 15 and 15 in month two. And there's talk that the Fed is going to probably speed up the taper. So by March, you'll have removed the $120 billion per month, annualize that, that's $1.44 trillion. And that's over 6% of U.S. GDP. So if you take away monetary stimulus of 6% of GDP and you're growing maybe at 1% or 2%, you're really talking about a slowdown in the U.S. economy.
Well, Joseph, one of the other things that's happening with this big backdrop of economic tailwinds and headwinds for different countries and different countries doing better economically than other. There's also this push and pull between production of the oil and gas industry and who's got the demand, who's got the supply. And it's interesting to me that we see not just the United States hitting their strategic reserves, but a number of other countries, China, Japan, South Korea, India, even Great Britain, have all agreed to open the tap, so to speak. At the same time, they're begging OPEC for more production. So it's an interesting dynamic. What do you make of all this? And do you think that hitting all these taps is going to have a sustained effect? Or is this just a short-term way to try to release the pressure a bit?
I think it's, political theater for the local economies where people at the pump are upset that they're, paying $7 in California, $3.50 across America as a whole. I think it's $6 or $7 in Japan. Europe, I think it's probably $7 equivalent to a gallon. Maybe it's $3 a liter there. So we're looking at, the domestic policy demands where people are, the countries are saying we're going to show that we're taking action, even though the impact is not going to be much. The United States really is sitting in the enviable position where if the politics is such that they want, as I mentioned earlier, the imports from Saudi Arabia were 453,000, and from the total from OPEC 496,000 barrels in the EIA report. The United States has over 600 million barrels in the SPR. They could easily say we're going to use our SPR for now, but we're going to buy more oil from Canada, Colombia, Mexico, Ecuador, Brazil, Trinidad, all the ones that supplied oil to them this week, according to the EIA report, and just say we're not importing from OPEC anymore. That will hurt OPEC significantly. And right now it's like I'm upping you, you're upping me, and so the American, the pressure was on by Biden and Xi to say to China to say to OPEC, don't raise your production by 400,000. They were asking for 600,000 to 800,000. And they didn't listen. They said, no, we're not going to. We're doing 400,000. And then you go to the data, and the reality is that China, or the OPEC countries in the month of September, I'm just pulling out the data in front of me, increased production by 486,000. So they increased it more than the 400,000 in the month of September. The October data shows that they only increased production by 217. So it was like they were saying, yeah, we said 400, but if you give us any grief, we're not going to. And so I think that the politics now is The Americans have said we're using, you know, and the others have said we're going to do the SPR. And the December 2nd meeting, OPEC is saying maybe we're not going to increase production. And then the Americans probably are going to say, hey, you know, maybe we don't import oil from OPEC, or we're not going to export our light crude anymore. So it's like a, you know, it's a back and forth tennis ball game going on here. The consumer is in the middle of it. And I think America and others, Xi, you know, if China and the United States are the two biggest economies in the world, they're going to have to take a bat out and say to OPEC, you know, game over. And we're not playing this, you know, I'll trump you trump me, I trump you. No, here's the bat, and you either play ball or else.
So, Joseph, is this one of the fundamental reasons why you think oil could be topping, because of the fact that there are more actions that governments are taking to slow a higher oil price, and the use of these SPRs is a special card up the sleeve of these governments to fly in the face of OPEC and the control that OPEC has had recently on the oil sector?
Yeah, if you think about it, this one-upmanship that we're talking about here, the basic underlying theme is, are you in the bull case where you believe that the economies are going to continue to grow from here, and that the bulls are saying, you know, we're going to be over 102 million barrels a day by the second quarter, which is J.P. Morgan's view, Bank of and Goldman Sachs, and I think Bank of America saying we're going to be over $100 a barrel in Q2 of 22. Or are you in the camp where I am, which is, hey, the economy matters, and the economic growth rate it matters. And when you have slowdowns in the economy, you could have a loss of world demand of 2 to 4 million barrels in a normal recession. And when you have something that's really awful, 80, 82, 2000, or 2020 during the pandemic, you lose 8 to 10 million barrels. So to me, the big picture is watch the economy. And that really, to me, is the key. And that's where I'm spending my time. And when we write our Eye on Energy like I did today, that's where I put in all the data, is because I want people to be focused not on the noise of the politics of, you know, tit for tat, but is there really demand destruction? And right now, the EIA data from today, which I showed you or talked about earlier, there's still growth. But if we start seeing after the Christmas holidays and after winter that the demand growth is not there, and that recessionary conditions are coming in China, United States, Germany, Japan, the juggernauts of world economic growth, then I think you're looking at prices that could be $20 to $30 lower than they are today for WTI.
Well, Joseph, in that kind of a backdrop where you expect there could be further weakness in the prices, are there any sectors within the oil or the oil and service sector that you think look promising here, or are they in store for a corrective move as well?
I think they're all, you know, they're all in store for a corrective move. All you need to do is pull out any economic window period that you want. The pandemic might be a one you don't want to look at because it was a health-related one. But look at every period of economic slowdown, 2008, 2009. You can go back to you know, the 72, 74. You can go to 80, 82. Go to any of the recessionary conditions that we had, you know, around the world. And those periods, demand destruction of, you know, 4 or 5 million barrels occurred. And when that happens, inventories build, prices go down. And, you know, OPEC is in trouble again. And I think OPEC is really damaging their credibility here by, number one, as I mentioned with the data from October, they didn't put out 400,000, but less than that. And now this tit-for-tat stuff they're doing. I think if there's, you know, if there's a choice of buying from a non-OPEC member or an OPEC member, the non-OPEC member is going to get the business, number one. Number two, if there's ever an Iran deal, China and other countries will buy from Iran. And if there's ever a change of regime in Venezuela and it goes back to a democracy, you know, then, you know, they have the ability to bring on 2 to 3 million more barrels very quickly. You know, people say, well, it could take years. Well, how long did it take Kuwait to you know, after the Iraqis blew everything up? 1 year later, they were back to full production. So I think that you know, people are not missing the fact that there's still a lot of places where oil can come on. At the same time, the economy matters, and weaker economic conditions is trumps everything, because it's such a big impactor. You know, right now, is demand 97, 98, or is it 100? You've got people throwing out all kinds of numbers here. You knock off 4 or 5 million barrels of demand, because in 2022, we go into recession. OPEC shafted.
So then, Joseph, I guess to summarize, it sounds like you're not buying any oil or energy stocks right now. You're waiting for a bigger correction and then start to deploy some cash. What usually recovers first in the oil sector? Then if we do continue to get a pullback, where would your focus turn for stocks?
Well, you know, the index today, the S&P TSX Energy Index, is in the 170 range. I think it's going to go to 100 or lower. So that tells you how much downside I see in the next 6 months. When we do see that, you know, one thing I'd point out here is natural gas prices. Everybody, remember the last time we talked, we were talking quite a bit about natural gas. Well, natural gas was, you know, over $20 an MCF in Europe because of the whole issue of shortages and worry about that. And, you know, is the Nord Stream pipeline going to come on? Well, the high in October was $6.47 for NYMEX, and that's in our report that we put out today. The price today is $5.03, so it's already come down quite a bit. And AECO, which was you know, in the $6 range, it's $3.77 today. So we've had a big decline in natural gas prices, and yet, because winter is still ahead of us, the natural gas stocks have held up very nicely. I think once we get past winter, and if it's not a cold winter and there's sufficient supplies in North America especially, then I think when we're going to see this correction kick in after February, when the worst winter is over, and probably Q2 is going to be nasty. And then I think when you look for those areas that are going to be cheap again, the one area that hasn't moved at all the needle much is the energy service sector. Because they haven't been getting pricing power. Even though the price of oil is up and the price of natural gas is up from where it was a year or so ago, the pricing power has not been there because there's still too much supply on the energy service sector. Energy service companies are now been laying off a lot of workers. They can't crew the equipment anymore. So I think the pricing power will come back to the service sector. So when I look at the bottom, I'm going to be looking at the energy service stocks. And then I hope natural gas stocks correct, because I think the long-term commodity that's going to win the most in the next three decades, until we do have sufficient renewables and we have enough EVs on the road that gasoline demand has come down, I think natural gas is the number one choice on the commodity side, followed by light oil and condensate. I'm a bear now, and I probably will stay a bear on heavier crudes, because I think that over time, there's the oil that comes on around the world from OPEC, from Canada, because of course SAGD and oil sands, you know, production coming back up. Plus, if Venezuela comes back on, and I think in the next 5-10 years, that's very probable. And then if you see Iran come on, most of their barrels are heavier. So I think there's going to be a glut of heavies, which means differentials will widen. And so I don't want to be touching anything that's a heavy oil security.
Okay, Joseph, we're wrapping it up here. Thank you for those comments. As always, it's interesting to follow along with the energy sector, especially with oil that just kept moving higher. But again, throughout November, we have seen some weakness. Maybe that'll be the top. And hey, maybe we'll start to see some economic weakness, to your point, that will respond or pull down the energy sector as well. But we're going to chat again next month, and who knows where the price of oil will be. But it sounds like you're looking for lower prices and still not rushing into any of the stocks. Joseph, thank you as always for your time, buddy. We'll chat again next month. Have a great rest of your week.